come back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd reach
out? Who'd have thought
they'd
reach out?
Back here, where we need you.
Hey, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor of Hamilton's Mohawk College's comic book history. Jeez, here I am. I'm so impressed with your speaking ability. Slurpee Jones is gone.
Yes,
welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
I was all kerfuffled there. Yeah, discombobulated. Yeah.
Oh, Chris, you know it was a tough
go for you.
7 months plus.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know.
You know what though. I'm going to tell you something.
What's that? What are you going to tell me?
I approached it differently.
Yeah?
I approached it like a challenge.
Like a fight.
Like a journey.
Like
I approached it like something beneficial.
Oh, nice.
I approached it, you know what? I go, I'm going to learn something from this.
And what did you learn?
Not a goddamn thing.
You know what I learned? I learned how much a man can sob in a corner.
I learned how much of a bitter man I am.
Listen. You took it on the chin.
On the chin.
You know what? Yeah. Listen, we didn't even introduce our young engineer, producer, Shecky Feldstein, to my our left, and
to my right.
Oh, he's not here. He's not here.
Young Buck is gone. Buck is AWOL today.
Young Buck is gone. I do believe there's a possibility he might not be coming back.
Off
to greener pastures.
Wow.
I don't know how greener they could be than working for Comic Culture Radio, but he is a busy man, so unfortunately there's a good possibility we will not be seeing him again.
You know what? I have a tear of a beer.
A right tear?
Now. I mean, in my pop.
If you're drinking beer, you would.
No, I'm not. I'm drinking pop.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the coffee, Chris. You know what? I can't.
Tear of my beer. No, it's pop, but thanks for bringing the coffee.
Man, I wish that young kid the best. Man.
Absolutely, for sure.
How long's he been with us?
Like 17 years, I think.
I think it was for a good 2 years, anyways.
Two years?
Well, maybe
like 17.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, greener Buck, pastures.
Yeah, young Buck. Mm-hmm.
Wish him all the best.
Yeah. If the sound quality suffers. You'll know why.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Listen, we do have a show to talk about. We are here to talk about comics and comics book industry stuff. So let's just get right down to the nitty gritty and talk about new this week, because it is Wednesday, and every Wednesday we do like to talk about new issues that are arriving on the newsstands.
New issues that are arriving on the stands
at your local comic book retailer. So let's get right down to it.
Without further ado,
Without
Chris.
Without further ado. And I want to start with DC, and we're going to go with Batman. It's the number one. It's a one-shot, but it's Joker's Daughter.
Here's the thing.
The New 52 is a little bit more extreme than the comics that you and I grew up with, right? It's a little more gory, dark sometimes, especially with this New 52. I don't know what it is about DC, but they really seem to like to be in a dark place a lot of times. Yeah. And Joker's Daughter is, of course, no exception to that rule. It's a pretty dark-looking book. She's got that whole leather face kind of thing going on with just like the new Joker does as well. And at one point, she's in sort of like this weird candlelit kind of, I don't know, it's hard to describe, candle spirals, things going on. Well, it's like she's lying on the floor with all these candles in a spiral around her, kind of like a pentagram, but it's not a pentagram because it's a spirals.
Right.
But and she injects her father's blood into her at one point. It's a really dark book. I can't. You know what?
This keep saying how dark it is, Chris.
It is.
Maybe you shouldn't wear your sunglasses when you're reading comics.
That's a great point. I probably shouldn't. But anyways, that's by Marguerite Bennett and Megan Hetrick.
Megan Hetrick and Marguerite Bennett. They've done Batman, Joker's Daughter, number one. It's a one shot.
It's a one shot. Yeah. So it is number one. You're right. But it's one shot.
Fair enough. And that is at your local comic book shop.
Today. Yeah. Also from DC Comics. This is, it's actually a reprint of Harley Quinn number one, which came out, geez, I'm going to guess probably close to 15 years ago now.
Yeah, that's what that Jack Nicholson looking cover
By Alex Ross, mm-hmm. And this was sort of meant to be one of the original. Okay, so here's the story. So Harley Quinn was originally created for the Batman animated TV series, and so she didn't actually appear in comics for a long time. And this was sort of meant to be her first appearance in comics. In the regular series sort of comic book type thing going on.
I think she was in Batman Adventures first.
Yeah, but even, like, that's not the regular mainstream line of comics.
Yeah, that's kind of like a kid's
comic. There was a kid's comic. Yeah. That was her first appearance.
Yeah.
But this is meant to be, like, her first appearance in the regular mainstream kind of storyline. And
I told you that story, didn't I?
No.
I had two beautiful copies of Batman Adventures number 12.
Oh, yeah?
And I was in Montreal.
At the con, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you did tell me this, but tell our listeners.
Oh, okay, and probably told them too, but they probably couldn't understand me.
Probably not, yeah. Too much slurping.
I think I had like $200 on each of them. It's ridiculous. Like, it's a book, couple years old, whatever.
Yeah.
And a dealer came up, and he goes, oh, I'll take two of them. I'll take them both.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man, it's before the con, you know, and I can't give you much of a deal because it's before the con. You understand, right? Oh, no, no worries, right?
So
he just buys them full pop. And, you know, next day I come over to his booth. Hey, how you doing? Not bad. I see him on the wall.
Yeah.
$500.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you doing? I don't know. I just put it up. Maybe someone makes me an offer. I get home.
Yeah.
Like a month later, a guy at the shop tells me on eBay they're getting like, you know, nice copies. They're getting like $700.
That's craziness.
What a moron I was. I thought I was ripping the dealer off.
Yeah, at $200. And here somebody's getting $700.
Everybody's getting $700.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know what?
So, Walt, needless to say, that hit the next week's undervalued spotlight, huh?
Well, no. You know what? I only put undervalued spotlights on stuff I have stashes of.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Anyways.
Listen, that was a reprint of Harley Quinn number one, 100-page spectacular by Paul Dini, initially, who actually helped create the character with Bruce Timm, Ivo Goucher, and James Patrick.
And it is available at your local comic book shop.
Yes. Listen, and you know what? I have a few Marvel comics, but I'm only going to talk about one. I've decided I don't want to talk about it anymore today.
That's it.
I'm
DC stole the show.
You know what? I think we're going to have to start talking less about new this week. We got so much industry news to talk about all the time.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Well, you know what?
Chris,
you bring up a very valid point. You know, this being the new year, a little bit further in, but you know what? New year starts now because it's the anti-slurp. Walt is back.
Anti-slurp.
Full form.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to shake things up a little bit,
you know,
reformat a tiny smidge.
Yeah, a little bit more of this coffee. I'll be slurping again.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. It's a hot coffee. It's a hot coffee.
Just say that you put your retainer back in.
Yeah. Anyways, what are we saying?
We're going to have a little bit of a shift, so listeners might notice that by the beginning of March, things have taken a little bit of a different, but a more formulaic and structured
approach.
But I guarantee they'll all enjoy it for the better.
We are all, Walt, and I are all about formula.
Listen, if this show is anything, it's structured.
Yeah, okay. anyways, here we go. So I want to talk about the new Ms. Marvel number one.
Oh, yeah, Chris. Ms. Marvel number one.
Yeah. So here we got Ms. Marvel number one. And
Ms. Marvel has the best covers in comics.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And interesting. So it's a new. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a new person who is going to be Ms. Marvel. And there was.
There you go, Chris. There you go. You ruined it all for me right away.
It's why? It's not Carol. Well, it's not Carol Danvers anymore.
I know, but here's my point. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Listen, who's the most popular superhero right now?
Ms. Marvel.
In the world.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Of all time.
Batman. Probably Batman.
Batman.
Okay.
Okay. What was his name in 1939, his alter ego?
Bruce Wayne.
And what's his alter ego's name now?
Bruce Wayne.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I think...
Point made.
Okay, so...
I have no idea what you just said, so right. I don't know
about that. I understand what you're saying. So, here's the thing. So,
here's the thing.
Captain Marvel... there have been other Captain Marvels in the past.
Of course there have.
Right?
Yes, I know that.
So, I don't see a problem with Ms. Marvel...
Just changing them every year.
I mean, you can debate that Ms. Marvel isn't the same thing as Captain Marvel. I can understand that. However, I see where they're trying to... Okay. I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but they're trying to be a little bit more politically correct, and they're creating a Ms. Marvel character who is not your token, stereotypical white and Anglo-Saxon Protestant type or Catholic type person.
Right.
Which of these different religions
are
they?
Well, it's all the same kind of thing. But anyways, it's they're going with a more ethnic-based Captain Marvel or Ms. Marvel here.
Oh, I get it.
So they're trying to appeal to more masses because I figure that they probably figure they can. They're trying to stretch out.
Well, here's
who they can reach to.
Here's my advice to Marvel, because I know they listen to the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, Dan Didio and George Perez and all those guys at Marvel.
George, yeah. Yes, I'm sure they love it. Yeah.
They listen to the show, and here's my advice to them.
Okay.
You know how creativity was back in the day? They created new characters that were awesome.
And some of them were awful, yes.
And some of them were awful.
Yep.
Some of them were awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they created new characters.
Yes, they did.
So what I would say is, you know, you have this kind of, ethnic's the wrong word.
I know. Absolutely.
In North America, we're all ethnic.
I chose the wrong word. I don't know what the right one is.
You're changing the identity of an established character.
Right.
Don't. Leave the established character.
And just,
leave Batman as Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Okay, and then create another character that's cool.
You're absolutely right.
That happens to be from somewhere else of a different persuasion,
gender, religion.
Ethnic heritage,
everything,
whatever.
Make it make the story compelling and strong enough that it can hold its own as that particular character, rather than trying to rely on the name of a particular character.
Smells gimmick.
Because and you're right. You know what? Because let's say how would the audience feel if Wolverine was no longer Logan? Right?
Yeah. Well, what if they did something stupid like made Spider-Man like one of his like Doc Ock or somebody?
That would be terrible. That would be just terrible.
Didn't they also? I don't know which book. Again, I don't know books.
In the
Hispanic
game. Yeah, in the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Still, right?
Yeah.
You're taking a title of a character who's traditionally Peter Parker.
But,
and turning it,
but you know what? They also did that there a few years ago. They came up with a Indian, Native Indian,
yeah,
but
subcontinent Indian.
Yeah, like Asian Indian.
Hindu Indian.
They came up with an Indian version of Peter Parker as well.
Here we are, guys, harping and busting balls about them doing this and it not working.
Yeah.
And yet you have Nick Fury.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They changed Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And people love the new Nick Fury as much, if not better, than the old Nick Fury.
Only because everybody loves Samuel L. Jackson.
Really?
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you had done it and it wasn't Samuel L., no one would give two craps about it.
If it was, let's say, Morgan Freeman?
Anybody that wasn't. sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Anybody who wasn't Samuel L.
Jackson. Right. Nice, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Oh, those darn penguins.
He's narrating Happy Feet 3.
Hey, I'm Easy Rita.
All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. I'm going to cue my sound guy here. Yep, right, get him ready. We're going to have...
Sound guy.
A sound guy. Are you all set for the sound there, sound guy?
I believe we're just about set.
Okay, sound guy, go ahead. Oh,
there you go. That's, of course, yeah. It's from Act 2 of Porgy and Bess. Porgy that, and his horse.
That was Panic Patrol by Kenny Graham of the 60s Spider-Man. It, was, it wasn't it. Quite Krantz
yeah.
for
I,
you.
Yeah, no, it was good, though.
We wanted something new.
I liked it. I liked
we wanted
it.
To switch it up. And of
I'll
course,
let it go. I'll let it go.
Of course, you probably thought it was Krantz until I told you it wasn't.
Christmas.
Yeah, no, I liked
Krantz.
It.
Oh, okay.
I liked it. Anyways, listen. Let's continue on here. Now we're gonna go right to mailbag. Are we not?
We're getting into mailbag.
Getting into mailbag. Now we received an amazing
sponsor for mailbag.
Yes,
we
that's what we received.
An amazing sponsor.
We gotta plug him in, Chris.
I forget about the sponsor
because the mailbag.
Listen, these coffees that you brought in, somebody has to pay for them.
Because the mailbag
right.
is so
not cheap,
so amazing, doesn't mean we can just skip over the people who actually make this show happen.
You're absolutely right.
So
please, go ahead.
Mailbag brought to you by V for Vendetta masks, because there's no better way than to force a raise at your job than by threatening to rebel.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very
yeah,
true.
There you go.
Yeah. Remember, remember.
Remember.
What do we remember?
Oh, you know, that's the beginning.
Better wages?
No, you know what? Forget it. Just that's the beginning of the Guy Fawkes. Forget it. You
remember
know what?
When I used to get paid for working instead of here?
You never got paid at all from us. Ever.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I remember paying
Keep
jobs.
Going. Keep going.
All right. So, we're going to get right into mailbag.
Mailbag.
Greetings, Walt, Chris, Shecky, and Young Buck, who is absentee
not
for
here,
today.
No, yeah.
And in brackets, Slurpee Jones, we will miss you. R.I.P. There you are. You may remember me from my query regarding Magnus Robot Fighter a few months ago. Of course we do. I have started to compile my collection, and I'm up to 5. Thanks much for your advice, although it would have been much more enjoyable had Slurpee been able to remember my name. Yeah, you're right. You don't remember.
He doesn't remember anything now.
Note to Walt, I'd like to recommend that you have the name of the person from Mailbag written in front of you before you respond. That was really bad. Have a Coke on me. There you go. We'll bill you
nice,
later.
Nice. All right.
Bill, it's coffee tonight, all right?
Yeah.
So, I have two questions for you.
Keith.
Yeah.
I have two questions for you. Pardon me for being greedy. And you know what? They were so great, we have to allow them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right, I'll read through the whole thing before you start responding. Okay,
but he made fun of Walt, so that allows easily another question.
Yeah. All right, so number one. I remember a previous episode where you briefly touched on the grading topic. You said that one of the things that has to do with the comic value is the clarity of printing. I believe it was Walt who mentioned that there was a place to send comics for grading. But you mentioned only that single place. Surely there is more than one location. My wife works in the arts, and there are numerous professionals who are able to grade artwork according to the quality and artist. Is there only a single place? Why is that so, and how did that place earn the right of such a significant title? Second question.
Oh. Wait. Let's address that question, then we'll go back to the letter.
Walt will especially forget
then
it.
Then we'll go back to the mailbox.
And
we'll
start answering other questions that don't exist.
There are other grading companies, including PGX.
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 Isn't that like one of those like minerals that you take for hormonal supplements or something?
It may. I think it's an erectile dysfunction thing.
But you wouldn't know anything about that, right?
By the way. There is, but the problem is, like many things, one becomes the industry standard.
Right.
And CGC is the industry standard, so
But
people have jumped on that one. And if you take a book, I don't know, let's take a common type book, like Iron Man number 1 from 1968.
Right.
Let's say a 9.2, which is a nice grade out of 10.
Right.
If you put a PGX number 1, 9.2 up on an auction.
Right.
Alongside a CGC 9.2 at the same auction.
Yeah.
The CGC, I'm just estimating, will probably get 30% more value.
I have a question. In sports cards, back in the day, I don't know what it's like now.
I used to collect them all the time back in the day,
but
too.
But back in the day, there used to be a few different trading card graders.
Yeah.
Now, PSA was one of the biggest ones. But there was also Beckett.
Beckett, yeah.
Now, Beckett, now, so you're saying that, you know, that PGX was, you'd get less money for PGX.
Also right.
The difference is, whereas with Beckett, oddly enough, Beckett in the day, there used to be a sort of an underwritten code that Beckett actually graded harder than PSA did, so Beckett's
would
actually get
reason.
A better,
right.
More,
and
more money.
That's actually leading into my question, was that Are they both on par for grading policies and strictness, though?
Yeah. You know, I don't think they are. I mean, people, like, it's every industry is different, and every, like, CGC jumped on first, and they solidified their lead.
Their dominance,
yeah. They're totally dominant.
Right, right,
in
right.
In comic books.
Right.
Like, in cards, it may be a kind of a two-way or a three-way.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
it's one is 70, the other is 30, and the other is 10.
70, 30, and 10. Hmm. All right, sure.
Whereas, math checks out.
Whereas, yep. you know, PGX is maybe like 5. I'm just estimating.
Okay.
And CGC and see, 95, I find that a little bit unfortunate that, like you said, 30% more can be demanded.
Yeah.
When
it's fake.
My experience is working in a comic book store and working at the shows with yourself, the big shows. And it seems like everyone who comes by talking about CCG says they only get more lenient and more lenient as years go on. So a book graded 20 years ago was more strictly graded than
conspiracy
now.
Conspiracy theorists.
Okay, well, I don't know. This is what I hear. Conspiracy this theorists. Is what I hear on
Bitterman,
the street.
Bittermen come up, and then they have conspiracy theories about CGC.
Yeah.
In my view, CGC is the best thing that ever happened to comics. In my view, are they perfect? No. In my view, they have standardized grading. In my view, they've allowed the proliferation, the explosion of internet trading on old comic books.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, they're doing a good enough job to make it viable. And that's really all you can ask.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You could ask a bit more, but you know, they've delivered enough.
They've created a sound groundwork for
and
the buying
community.
And are
you going to get discrepancies? Are you going to be able to find a book? Oh, look at these two, you know, that were maybe graded three years apart. Yeah, you will. But I guarantee you that the guys that brought, oh, look at this one 3 years ago, it's a 9.2. And look at this one now, it's a 9.2. How inferior this one is.
But
I guarantee you that if you search, you can find opposite examples.
Right, right,
too.
Yes, okay. Yes, you're right.
So
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
a lot
but
of
But, Walter, you have to agree, though, there have been people over the past, at the shows even, that I was witness to, who said, you know, I had this book from, say, it was graded 10 years ago or something, but it looked a lot better than it should, or it should have received better than it did, so I cracked it open, and it got an additional 0.5 on it.
Hey, I crapped.
Well, you hopefully better.
You crapped one open, yeah. Anyway.
I'm telling you. Listen, I cracked an 8.5. I won't mention the book, but I cracked an 8.5 because I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I sent it down. I got a 7.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it happened. You know
what? Well, you probably should have bagged and boarded it when you sent it down.
Well, you know what, though? It's, you know what? Who knows, right? Like, like Friday afternoon, guy wants to get out of there. Like, you know,
you know what? He comes in on a Tuesday morning last night, you know.
I had a bender.
You know, the girlfriend was nice to him. He's coming in a good mood. You know, he's grading everything a 10. God damn.
All right, listen. Yeah. Listen, hey. Listen. Let's keep on going.
Bottom
here.
Bottom line here is that
CGC.
Yeah. That's the one. Probably deserves the level of respect and regard that they
True
have.
Enough.
Right. Okay. Right. Fair enough.
So let's just assume.
So really, there's no other good grading companies to deal with.
PGX. I'm not saying they're bad.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the market.
You can say that.
And that having the structure of relying on one isn't bad because they're not a corrupt society. They're not.
Okay. All right. What else does Keith have to
question
say?
Question the second.
Okay.
No.
From a collector's perspective, would it be a better deal for me to seek out the local comic book store that, of course, you champion, as do I, or attend a comic book convention with numerous vendors to obtain the best price for what I am seeking?
Ah.
On the one hand, the store is a fixed location, but the convention has competitors versus the additional cost of rental.
Yeah.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Let me chime in on this for a second. Here. One of the things I'm going to say about buying at a convention as opposed to a store depends on the convention because the reason why I say that, it depends on whether or not if you're going to get, you know, mom and pop store owners or personal store or personal collections being sold at that particular convention. Mm-hmm. Because if you get some guy that's decided, hey, you know what, I want to sell my books, but I don't want to sell them to a store, I don't want to do eBay, I'm going to go to a convention and sell all my books, you might get a better deal at that show as opposed to buying it at a shop. However, having said that, if you frequent that shop all the time, you might get to know the manager or the owner, and they may give you a good deal on it and guarantee a good price. Mm. So it really, there's two different streams of thought.
Yeah, okay. I agree, Chris. I think that you should do both. I think that the shop has to earn your business. I think that the shop, knowing that you're going to a con, will make the shop present to you better books at competitive prices, because he's not living in a vacuum. So competition is good, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You hold the cards as a buyer. You're going out there, and you don't be loyal. The worst possible thing is, oh man, like I got to buy the book off this guy because, like, you know, I go there every week, and you know,
mm-hmm.
like, the hell's that? Don't do that.
You can't think that way.
Don't think that way. Hey, go to where you know, old comics is like water, you know. They should settle at the lowest point.
But you know what? Like, you know, going back to you know, even last show, last Fan Expo, I picked up a the first appearance of Deadpool for like $20, right?
Yeah. Because I thought you were going to start bragging about your Groot. First appearance, the Hulk.
No. We won't get into that.
All right.
I found a first appearance of Deadpool for like $20 because some guy had a whole bunch of stuff, and he bought a lot of comics he basically bought out a store, and he had a whole bunch of books. He was just blown out, right?
Right.
So you know, you can get lucky.
Sure can.
At the same time, when I say that, I've been to shows where I've seen old Wonder Woman books for triple the price that my local store has them for, right? For the same grade and everything. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Like, it really depends. Know your prices.
You know what? You guys are giving a lot of firsthand, you know, and you know, say different advice for what I'm going to say right here. This is my conception. Should I collect comic books? I feel like the higher end books will always fetch a super premium at a show. Let's just assume that you're part of the comic collecting world and you go to, say, a Fan Expo, which is 100,000 plus people of the last one. You have people from, like, Goderich and Kincardine coming all the way down.
Can you imagine?
You know?
Yeah.
But they're looking, it's because they're looking for the one-stop shop.
Yeah.
So you can put that 20% premium on, you know, your 9/6 Spidey 1 because, man, that book, you're the only one who has that book at the entire show. So why not, right?
Yep. That's
so true. I feel like the higher end books are going to demand a premium at a show. Whereas I find that, you know, if you're collecting for the purpose of filling in a run, you're going to find them in like the half off bins. Walt, I know personally, you put a lot of your books off at discounted price to just incentive for the show because, you know, you want more people massing to your booth, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not like you're fixing prices beforehand or anything. You're actually doing this, and people are coming over and picking up good deals on $10, $20 books, which are like good run books, good Spideys from the 70s, 60s, whatever. So I feel like if you're looking for those sort of things, if you're not looking for gems and trying to flip a book, you're probably doing okay at a con. Whereas if you're looking for that really high-end book, it's better to make best friends and rub elbows with a comic book store owner because he can give you 75% off sticker, right, Walt?
It's... Well, but the thing is, you're right, but I mean, you may find a really great deal on an old book as well. So, anyway, what else does Keith have to say?
I find we're torn there. Okay, but anyway, so Keith sums it up with, thanks for your time, big fan of CFMU,
show,
93.3, and you are my favorite show. Well, that's why
nice.
We give him the time right
nice.
There. I always listen to your podcast whilst working out at the local gym. I know that doesn't sound like your typical listener, but even those of us in law enforcement like comics and comic culture.
Nice.
Your faithful listener, Keith from Fort Erie, who is not a bitterman.
Oh! Nice!
That puts the gear.
Yeah, I like that.
Also,
yeah, that's good.
Bracket P.S. Walt, try and stop swearing on air. Eep.
Well, have you been swearing on air?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you know what?
It could have been my device. Might have been a slip swear.
A slip swear.
Slurp swear.
Slip swear.
Slurp swear.
All right. Listen. All right. Let's. Let's.
Well, you know what? Thank you, Keith, very much for your very
Keith.
Thoughtful
Would you appreciate
questions.
It? Thank you, Keith,
and
for writing
hope,
in.
We hope we helped you. Right. Dear Lord, I hope we helped you after all that.
Thank you, Keith.
Yes.
All right, listen. What else we got going on here? Now, I can't remember the order of what we're doing now here. Are we doing music? Are we doing what's going on here?
We just did mailbag where we're doing one topic of industry news.
Okay,
let's get to that hot topic you guys could not wait to talk about.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Marvel unleashes pets for covers. That's that hot topic I just couldn't wait to bring
like,
out.
Maybe your wife couldn't wait. I don't know.
Listen,
like penthouse
what? What does that even mean?
Because she loves animals.
Oh,
Penthouse
sure.
Pets?
Go ahead. No, not Penthouse Pets. Either.
Continue.
Listen, this spring, the House of Ideas will become a zoo of ideas, literally. Beginning in February, the New York-based comic book publisher will be publishing a number of its various variant covers featuring... A number of various variant covers.
Did you get a slurp retainer put in, too?
You know what? Okay, you know what? Did you not understand that? A number of... variant covers.
Oh, Chris, say it again.
Yeah. You know what? I don't like either of you right now. Listen, I did see one of the covers, and it was Magneto as a mouse, and he was holding a big block of cheese, like floating among kind of thing.
Magneto as a mouse. That, he would make a good fridge magnet.
Scotty Young is doing a lot of... What does that even mean?
It means what it means. Think about it.
Anyway, Scotty Young is doing a whole bunch of covers based on... animals, I guess. So, you know what? If you're an animal lover, you can go out and try to buy...
P.E.T.
PETA. Sure. PETA.
Protection against animal something.
Yeah. PETA. You know, you don't even care. Can we why do you even bother?
Yeah.
No, listen. This is a great gimmick by Marvel. It's not going to work.
Okay, so hold on. You know what? This is the same
What are they doing again? They're putting animals...
You don't even care.
No, I didn't...
No, you know what? I don't even want... No.
I didn't have...
You know, forget it. You know what?
Yeah, you know what?
No, forget it. No, I'm not letting... No, I know. You didn't care the first time. I'm not going to reiterate myself. Marty, cue up some music here, because that's all we're going to worry about right now.
Take it away, Shecky.
All right, go ahead, Shecky. Play some music for us. Anytime now.
Woo!
Oh.
There we go.
That was Mr. Mancini, of course.
Of course,
with
yes.
The big brass band and the Pink Panther.
Pink Panther, you know, well, that is...
That's a theme to Lost in Space, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. You know, we've not played Pink Panther for a long time. We played it years ago when we first started the show.
Yes, you know, Pink Panther was a comic book
by
Charlton.
That's right, it was. Yeah.
Actually worth quite a lot of money. Like $100.
Yeah, not like hundreds. But you know what's funny? Okay, this is completely off topic, but you know what's funny is, speaking of cartoons that were made into comics that are worth a lot of money, is Scooby-Doo comics.
Scooby-Doo.
Those are worth a lot
of
money.
Not only the Gold Key, which was the first series.
Yeah.
The Harvey, the Marvel.
Every version of it. I mean, the Gold Key ones are hundreds of dollars, though, right?
You can get a nice copy of Scooby-Doo number one Gold Key, like a 9 out of 10 or something.
Yeah.
Like $1,000.
$1,000. Really? There you go. You know what? I urge all of our listeners to go back to their parents' basements and try to find all those old Gold Key crappy comics. great comics.
And
you
know what?
You never know what you might find,
and
right?
Text and email me.
You never know what you might find. Shecky, what have we got next up on our list of things to talk about?
Our next up topic is, of course, our... I don't know if yours is a trivia challenge or it's co-host input challenge.
Okay, it's a little bit of both. Are we doing that first?
We're doing your bit.
Okay, let's do my bit first. So my bit...
They have it all organized and structured.
You know what? Why you got to bring us down like that?
Yeah, leave it to us. Yeah. Well, we'll all carry you through
so
this thing.
I was thinking... I was thinking on the weekend, so...
that's a first.
You know, just shush. And did you guys watch the Super Bowl at all?
the Super Bowl?
My dad was there. You know what? Yeah. I followed along on my phone while I was checking hockey scores.
Terrible game. Terrible game.
That's what I heard.
Blowout City.
Halftime show.
Great show. Listen, great halftime show.
Halftime show because, see, this is the reason why I watched the halftime show. Is because I can talk about it to people.
In love with Bruno Mars?
I didn't know who Bruno. I swear. Like, I'm not lying here.
Then I really didn't want to watch the game then. It was halftime?
Yeah. He was great. Honestly.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I don't like his music, so.
Neither do I, but I thought he was great.
I thought Bruno Mars was the guy that did Borat.
Oh.
I swear. No. I didn't know who Bruno Mars was because, okay, I'm an older guy.
Yeah.
That music. Uh-huh. I thought Bruno Mars.
Right. Yeah, no.
It wasn't, right?
Completely different.
So I watched it.
Yeah.
And then the Red Hot Chili Peppers came on.
Yeah.
They were cool. And then Bruno Mars did his homage to James Brown.
Yeah.
With a dance move.
That was great.
I loved it. I thought it was a high energy thing.
Honestly.
I don't know the music, but I had fun. I liked it.
I'm not a football guy.
Yeah.
And if you say someone like Bruno Mars was doing the halftime, then I feel like the most enjoyment I would have got out of the Super Bowl was watching the commercials.
All joking aside, Marty, Shecky, honestly, the halftime show was one of the best halftime shows I've ever seen.
I'm not saying he's a porn artist.
No.
Second best. I like the Prince one.
Well, okay, so this is best one I've seen since Prince. And I actually said that to somebody today.
Yeah.
Prince was great. That was about 10 years ago. And this was awesome. Honestly, you missed it. Really. Like,
I have
no
a question.
Kidding. No joking.
Is this all a setup to whatever your thing is?
Yes. So okay. Anyways.
Thank goodness.
So anyways, during the Super Bowl, one of the commercials was for the new Captain America, the Winter Soldier movie trailer.
Captain America.
I didn't see it.
2.5 minutes of the new trailer.
Wow.
It has the new trailer. Looks fantastic. Honestly, it looks awesome.
I will tell you right now. This is just came to me. I forget who it was. It was someone in the industry. I don't know if it was Brubaker or someone very closely attached to all the Captain America stuff.
Yep.
Actually said that this is far and above the best film Marvel has put out to date.
You know what? Everybody I've seen and on the internet and talked to and read stories about said that this is going to be an amazing movie.
Right. This person actually saw the screen already. I think they saw a screen.
It looks
and they said that this is the best Marvel movie to date.
Well, so here we have the Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is a relatively new villain, if you want to call him that, like relatively new adversary of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I wanted to start thinking about the different Captain America villains and who the best ones were.
Right.
So I want to ask you guys.
Uh-oh.
This is where the quiz comes in.
Yeah.
Who do you think? Oh, and this is okay. This is my list. This is not a list on CVD2 or IGN or Newsarama. This is my list that I've compiled myself because I'm as you guys know, I'm a big Captain America fan.
You are a big
nerd.
Captain America
fan.
Nerd.
Fan. Thank you very much. It's called fan.
Fan nerd? Continue.
Shut it.
Okay.
Continue.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, I want to ask you, who do you think's on my list?
I get first guess.
Sure, go
Red
ahead.
Red Skull.
Red Skull is on there, but he's number two.
He's the only one that I know of from the first film.
He's number two.
Hitler.
Yes, he is number one. Hitler.
Well, I was going to...
Captain America battles Hitler.
I only had two to put on the list.
Who else is on my list? Just out of curiosity's sake.
The Falcon.
Falcon is not a villain.
Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yeah, but they may have had some sort of animosity.
Well, yeah, he's not really a villain.
No.
Winter Soldier is on there. Yes, he's my number three.
Wait a minute. I thought Captain America was the Winter Soldier.
No.
No. Captain America, like I do.
Anyways, no. Yeah, Winter Soldier is not the same thing as Captain America.
Okay. So
how big is this list?
10 people.
Oh,
ten.
Dear.
I'm going to tell them all in a minute.
Hold on.
Let's see if you guys
on.
Can guess.
I got two of them. Walt, I already got two of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who else?
Oh, you already got two of them.
I got two of them.
Man, Chris. Hold on now. Nomad.
Nomad
Chris,
is a good guy. He's a good
here,
guy. Shecky, you should know. Well, maybe you don't know because you don't really know.
I have one I want to guess.
Oh,
okay, go ahead.
the wolf guy, the Captain America as the wolf.
That's still Captain America. That's Wolf Cap.
Wolf Cap.
It's not. It's still.
It was a terrible. They made a name like that.
There was a terrible storyline.
Bust the cap. You know what I'm saying?
No, Wolf Cap, although I would like him to be an adversary, Wolf Cap was Captain America just as a werewolf. It was a terrible storyline. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, I want to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Loki.
No, he
wasn't one of the movies.
You know what? Forget it. You guys are terrible at this.
Hold on. Mussolini.
Mussolini.
Oh, Hitler worked. Why not Mussolini?
I know. Stalin.
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 Stalin for something.
Stop Stalin for
you know
time.
What? Okay.
Chris, just please help us.
Okay, let me give you a hint here.
No, end it.
One of the characters was also in the Captain America movie.
I didn't see it.
And he's an enemy?
Yes.
Wasn't the Doctor.
Who? Doctor Who?
Not Doctor Who.
Was it Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
Like Liebschreiber.
No, 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 no.
Dr. Liverwurst there.
No. You know what? You guys stink at this game. Okay, you know what?
Okay,
Dr. No.
Okay, you know what? My number 10, Batroc the Leaper.
What? Oh, I got one.
Okay.
MODOK.
Yes. He's number 7.
Yes.
He's number 7.
Yes.
MODOK, also known as
Matlock.
Okay, MODOK is also known as the mental organism designed only for killing.
Yes.
Baron Blood, number 9.
Baron Blood.
Who in one of the issues of Captain America, Captain America actually had to use his shield to decapitate because he was a vampire.
The nerve.
Yes. Crossbones.
Yes.
MODOK. Arnim Zola was in the Captain America movie.
Who was he?
Professor Zola.
Okay,
Red Skulls.
That's what I said, the professor.
You said, I thought you meant the professor.
Dr. Liefenwurfsten.
Arnim Zola.
That's the one.
Yeah, you stink. The other ones you might not know.
Dr. from the village, you know. Yeah.
Dr. Schitz from the village, you know.
Yeah, the other ones you might not know. Dr. Faustus. The Hate Monger. Now, the Hate Monger, who is actually a clone of Hitler. And then, of course, we've got Winter Soldier, Red Skull, and, of course, Adolf Hitler himself.
Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
Yes. So there you go. That's my top 10 Captain America villains of all time.
Okay.
Well, what, six?
That was painful. One, maybe?
One?
Yeah.
Well, that was painful.
That was not painful. Okay. You guys.
No, it was painful for us because I have no idea any of those characters.
Yeah, even you know, why are you even on the show then?
The
why are you on the show?
Yeah, why are you on the show?
Really? Do you know anything about comic books?
Comedic timing.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, so on to my list.
Hey.
Which is good because it's opinion based.
That first one works so well, guys. We're going to go well again.
Mine is opinion based, and it's not based on names that you've never heard before.
Names that never got a dinner.
You know, if you guys even read a comic once in your lives.
Here's my thing, okay?
Here's the thing.
Chris, you're going to go first because I don't want Walt taking all the easy ones that you might know. Because this is more of a Walt-directed questionaire.
So, Marty, Shecky. Show how much
Shecky,
how little I know.
Yeah,
Shecky,
I like that.
This is opinion-based. This is for the people to learn a little something.
All right, what is
Shecky
it?
Shecky usually does a top five, or I love top five. I'll keep it to top three, though, because this is a little bit, you have to think just a tiny bit, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Even though it's opinion-based.
Okay.
Walter at comicbookdaily.com, you do an undervalued spotlight once a week, right?
Once a week.
Where you take a book that doesn't get enough credit, and you give
never
it some.
Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner. And you try and at least give it an appetizer.
I like that. You should.
Yeah.
Change it to never got a dinner.
You do the never got a dinner, and you at least try and give it an appetizer so it has something.
Right.
You know,
okay.
On that cold
corner. You know what? Would you just get on with it?
I'm asking for your top three overvalued spotlight right now. I'm asking for your opinions.
What?
On your three overvalued spotlights.
Overvalued.
There's a whole bunch of undervalued. You've never heard of this book. Walt praises it. You'd have to look through an encyclopedia to find it. What are the three where it bugs you to the bone that this book gets tons of money?
Mm.
Or even if it gets $5, but it deserves to be Kindling instead. So, Chris, I want yours first because I don't want Walt taking easy ones that you might think of.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going first?
Yeah, you are.
Walking Dead number 1.
Oh, yeah. You don't think it deserves it?
Not even a little.
Just a lot of hype and it's too new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
I couldn't have said it better. Too new, too much hype, too many were printed.
Yeah. I can understand
it. The zombie phenomenon has just skyrocketed that book for no reason. Right? So that's very fair. That's my number one.
That's a fair answer. Yeah. Hey, there's no wrong answers in this game, Chris, unlike your terrible game.
No, my game is good. As
Please
long as you
continue,
know, as long
Chris.
As you know something about comics.
Well, then it's a terrible game for me.
Okay, go ahead, Walt. Your turn.
All-American number 16.
That would, of course, be the first appearance of...
Crickets.
Green Lantern.
There you go.
I don't know why it's worth so much money. Green Lantern, I don't know. Just
you don't think the property itself deserves it?
No, it's worth like $500,000 or something like that. Yeah,
wow, that is ridiculous. What year did that come out?
1940, I think.
Maybe it's because it's so old as well. Yeah. It's one of the first superheroes in their first origins.
You know what? Flash came out before it, number one, Flash.
Yeah.
And it's worth not even half of it.
Mm.
And there's less of them.
Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Flash never got a dinner. Green Lantern got a dinner. I don't know why the Green Lantern is worth so much. And while I'm on the topic, Superman number one is worth like... I think Superman number one, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the third most valuable comic book there is.
Probably.
And
that's wrong to you?
Action One, and which introduces Superman.
Yep.
And Detective 27, which introduces Batman, are the two rightfully so most valuable comics. And then Superman 1 comes in.
Shouldn't it be like Wonder Woman or I don't want to say Spider-Man because that's too new.
Yeah, but or like say Marvel Comics when it introduces
Human Torch,
the Mariner, I think Captain America 1. I don't know.
But
Superman 1. Okay, like hey, this character in Action Comics is really popular. Let's give him his own title.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, that's fine. I mean, but
well, so in comparison, what is a Batman number one, right? Like, I mean, so if you want to compare the two.
I think it's worth less than half of Superman number one, yet Batman number one delivers something that Superman number one does not deliver.
Joker.
Yes, no.
The Joker.
Oh, sorry, yes.
I know. I even knew this,
Chris. It introduces perhaps the most iconic villain of all time. The most important villain ever in comics, perhaps is the Joker.
No, you're right. Yeah, I agree
and,
with that.
Batman delivers that.
Yeah.
And and Batman number one came along for the same reason Superman one number came along. The two characters in their initial titles, Detective and Action, were very popular. So they
and they kind of outgrew their own characters. Like
they continued on both.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Superman number one, definitely All-American.
So that's two. That's two you've given. Chris?
Oh. What two? What?
He, I gave two.
He did?
At
All
one time.
All-American 16.
Yeah, and?
And Superman number one.
Oh, right. Okay. Geez. Okay, let me think about this for a second. You know, I really... For me, it comes down to newer books because I just don't understand the cost factor and how people can spend so much money on newer books. You know what? I'm gonna use your example earlier. Harley Quinn number one.
Yeah.
The first appearance. Batman Adventures. I can't believe that a book like that is selling for upwards of $1,000.
Yeah.
For a book that's relatively new.
First appearance. See, no. I respect comics that introduce characters.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the Scooby-Doo number one.
Yeah,
when you take an animated character and then make it their first book appearance. It doesn't exist. Right?
Yeah.
See, I find that even more validated than The Walking Dead number one because no one knew anything about The Walking Dead. It started as its own thing.
Yeah, I just don't get it, you know.
Harley Quinn, I would say, even more than Walking Dead should be.
But you know what? Great question.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll cut it at two because you both had so much to say. I was really thoroughly impressed.
Because we each have two, so that's four. You said you wanted three, so.
Each.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Are we going to do a musical interlude here or what are we going to do here?
I believe we may have a musical interlude all established.
Okay, you know what? Let's cut to music very quickly, and then we're going to come back and continue on with our industry news. That's what we do. That's right. Anytime now. Come on now. You can do it. I have faith in you. Batman! you know what? Let's we're running out of time here, so let's. I want to jump right into
where
some.
Where did time go?
I know. You know what? It's it's like it just flies by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did Billy throw the clock out the window?
He
wanted, to watch time fly.
I don't get it.
Yeah, anyways, listen, industry news. So listen, Thor 3. So after... Thor 3. listen, Captain America, The Winter Soldier debuts their trailer, and a day after that, basically, they decided, it's now being talked about that there's going to be a third installment of the Thor movie, which we kind of knew would happen anyways. But this is good news. This is going to be probably a good for people that are fans of the
Thor.
Not just Thor in general, but you know. So basically, what's his name? Christopher Yost wrote the Thor of the Dark World, and he's going to be teaming up with Craig Kyle.
Craig Kyle,
and apparently they're going to be doing the new Thor movie after this. Right. Thor 3. So they've
I actually just caught the second one.
What'd you think?
I thought it was actually pretty good.
I loved it.
I found it kind of tended to take that comic book approach where you start wading into risky waters, where it started relying a lot more on more consistent jokes. Like it seemed like there were a lot of attempts to be humorous and a lot of jokey parts in it, which I feel is sometimes the demise of comic book films.
Did you watch the same movie I did? Because I didn't see a whole lot of jokey stuff in that movie.
That's because you just didn't laugh at the jokes, Chris.
I found it was very dark. I didn't think it was jokey at all.
Hey,
let's
agree to disagree.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I found, and if history tells us anything, it's that getting a little too jokey and over the top, you know, having Tobey Maguire emo hair and I don't know. Anyway,
Tobey Maguire wasn't in Thor 3.
No, I'm saying history tells us anything.
Okay,
that's when Spider-Man crashed.
Right.
Anyway, I'm just saying it was a great film. I liked it. I did. I liked the mysticism and everything.
Yes.
I'm just saying I hope it doesn't try and just be like slappy in the face funny for the third one. Like, oh, right. Anyway.
I didn't see that. But I love that one. Yes.
Anyway, I did like it too.
You're wrong. But anyways, listen. Sure. Bill Watterson, Calvin and Hobbes fame.
Captain Hobbes.
Captain Hobbs. Bill Watterson is honored. Now, this is a show that you and I got to go to one of these days.
Yeah.
The I'm going to say this wrong, but the Angoulême International Comics Festival. It's the biggest comic convention in the world.
In France. Yes.
They were. They had their show recently. And tens of thousands of attendees.
You know what? It's out in the provinces too. It's not even in Paris.
No,
it's like somewhere
no.
near the coast near Normandy.
Yeah, they have their own awards and everything. And but it's almost like it's a little bit more prestigious than the San Diego, like the Eisners and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
because it's a worldwide event, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. So this year the prize was going to they have like a best overall creator of all time kind of award, right? And this year the prize went hand out once every year, and they gave it to Bill Watterson this time, who was the creator of Calvin and Hobbes.
You know what? Don't talk to me about Bill Watterson.
Why?
I don't like Bill Watterson.
Why not? You don't like Calvin and Hobbes. You know what?
No, you're wrong. I adore Calvin Hobbes. I love Calvin Hobbes. I worship Calvin Hobbes. Calvin Hobbes is my favorite newspaper.
So why don't you like Bill Watterson?
Of all time. Because he's starving us of Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, that is true. That is very true.
He is
yes.
like all bitterman about Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
I'm done with Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Live with it.
Yeah.
Nothing of Calvin and Hobbes will ever exist
yeah.
again.
Yeah, no shirts,
no
anything.
As long as I
yeah.
live.
Yeah, yeah.
You
Listen.
Know, I am the,
okay,
I am the anti-Calvin
okay,
and Hobbes.
Okay, I get it. Listen, something on
Bill Watterson.
Don't
give him anything. Bitterman, that's what he is.
Speaking of Bitterman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking. Yeah, you should call John to see if there's any openings available.
Yeah.
Listen,
I like how Mr. Bitterman has become like a verb. It's been, you know, you're being very, very Bitterman. You know?
I'm very Bitterman about this.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, you know, now you and I, in the early days of this radio show, we used to talk a lot about the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark,
mm-hmm.
right? Broadway play, yeah. musical. Then now the big thing is to have those big Cirque du Soleil live arena type shows.
Yes.
Well, you know, if you're asking for a Marvel live event, mm-hmm. your dreams have come true.
Wow.
Because Marvel Universe Live will be debuting in Florida on July the 10th, 2014, and at the Tampa Bay Times Forum, with a special world premiere event at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn a month later on August 13th. So basically, they're going to be touring around the United States for a year, basically,
uh-huh.
with this giant spectacle of all these different characters and dances and routines and action chases things and all kinds of amazing things going on. Here, the write-up is, when the cosmic cube is shattered, the Avengers, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Spider-Man, and Wolverine, will have to embark on a journey around the world to retrieve the fragments in order to combat Loki, who has made a synthetic replacement. And this will pit them against villains such as the Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, Red Skull, Madame Hydra, and Electro.
Oh.
So this is going to have 25 different characters from the Marvel Universe, all on stage, all in high wire acts, and all kinds of fun stuff.
All in high. Listen, you know what's interesting is that that you notice the lineup there includes guys like Spider-Man and stuff. So obviously, Marvel hasn't signed Spider-Man over to like Sony. Only for motion pictures,
right?
They're looking for ways,
and they talked about this before. This is basically, as of right now, this is going to be the only time you get a chance to see all these characters on the same in the same media.
You know, it's like Chris. Right. Chris, you know, it's like,
what's it like?
It's like a Beatles tour.
I say
you can't see the full lineup except at these concerts.
That's right.
Yeah, you can go to the movies and watch the Avengers.
Yeah,
the Avengers sans Fantastic Four. Sans
Spider-Man, Wolverine.
Sans X-Men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you go to these spectacles, spectaculars.
Spectacles?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get to see everybody. It's an orgy.
It is.
Of Marvel superheroes.
That's right. It
and
is.
And I think maybe they're banking on that fact.
I hope so.
You know, I can just imagine, you know, the only place you can see all the Marvel.
Oh, totally, yeah. But really, why wouldn't you go to see something like this? It sounds great. Like, go to,
like the $400 cost of a ticket.
It's not going to be that much because it's an arena thing, right? So that'd be like at places like
Tractor Pull.
See the Hulk pull a tractor.
This weekend, only Marvel.
How many pigs can Captain America hold under his arms?
Come watch Captain America. This weekend.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Listen. I think it's going to be fun. If it comes to anywhere close to here, I will definitely be going. I think I'd make a trip out of it.
I'll be busy. I'll come with you.
Will you?
Here's
what we need to do. Here's what we need to get in free. We need to get in free. We need to keep unplugging this every week until somebody from somewhere.
Yeah, because it works so well.
Somebody from somewhere
tells us.
It works so well for us for Spider-Man After the Dark.
Or Turn Off the Dark.
Or whatever the hell it's called.
Listen, you know, unfortunately, we are running out of time here, Walt.
All right, listen. Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Felstein, a.k.a. Marty Breselmer, and engineered by Shecky Felstein, a.k.a. Marty Breselmer. Where do you go?
What?
What do I say after that?
If you want to download
it. Yeah, download. Go to comicbookdaily.com and do something
Get the there. Point radio, get maybe. Maybe we're not sure.
Figure it out. Listen, we know you're smart. Figure out the rest.
Listen, thank you very much for listening to the show. Go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a great day.
Yes, and please, please support your local comic book shop.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.